MoneyWeb now on the money.
This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. I'm chatting with Carl Veskov. He's TymeBank new CEO. Carl, appreciate the time today. Launched in February 2019 and kiosks, no branches at all, into what I got to say I would have thought was a crowded market. But 5 years, 9.5 million local customers later, a wild success.
It has been. Thanks, Simon. Obviously, the whole application process has been designed around to being frictionless and being where customers are. And when customers walk into the branch, it takes them all of 3 to 5 minutes to open a bank account and at the kiosk to be issued their debit card, which means they can immediately transact. So it's just a nice frictionless, easy process for customers.
And I suppose that's it, because, you know, banking, particularly with all the FICA and the sort of traditional banks, really had become a painful experience. And the secret here was, I mean, being where the customer was. I walk into my Pick and Pay, there's a kiosk, and literally within minutes.
And what's also helped us is we've got a couple of key philosophies in the business. One is we document free, so we don't deal with paper. Everything is electronic. Everything is digital. We're also cashless, so we don't have to have the big infrastructure that banks have to handle cash. Our partners handle that for us, like the Pick and Pays, cash in, cash out at till, as well as ATMs. So it makes our business model so much simpler and easier for customers.
It reminds me of Christo De Wolf's Bank 2020, which was probably ahead of its time. I mean, you really were able to leverage technology. And I know it's a cliche. Every business says they do, but you really were in the right space and able to properly do it.
It's also timing. So we're fortunate that we're in the age of mobile banking, so customers can use mobile phones to bank. Our whole technology stack is cloud native, so it's built in the cloud, which means it's easier to modify and upgrade. So we don't have the legacy infrastructure many of the banks have, having to manage branches and outlets.
Absolutely. I mean, we're seeing banks cut back on branches, but it's still a huge number. Back in the day when you first launched, it was all about goal save. And I remember when I was doing a podcast around financial well-being, and almost every question was around the goal save. That really was, it kind of sparked a resurgence almost in saving. It almost, I mean, I don't want to say it made it fun again, but it did create a huge interest in a space which, you know, savings boring, but it worked.
Exactly. So we've now gone to GoalSave 2.0. It's just gone live a couple of weeks ago. It simplifies it. So some of the gamification around GoalSave became complex for customers. Mm-hmm. So we simplified it now. So at entry level, they get 7% regardless. If they do 10 transactions a month for 3 months and give 10 days notice, they can get up to 11%, which is by far the highest savings rate in the market.
How important was that gamification in the process? I appreciate your point that perhaps it did get a little complex, but certainly it also created, I suppose, some fun around it and made banking less boring.
It does, but it's also tied into the app experience. So in the app, you don't want a ton of tabs. You want to know what these things look like and feel like. And certainly we've advanced it even further in the Philippines in our GoTime Bank, where we've made it very customer-centric, the app environment. And some of that's going to come back to South Africa to improve our experience here as well.
You also now do sort of fully functional traditional banking. And if you're smart around it, it is free banking. And again, I can remember days of crazy banking fees. It really is, again, talking to that customer and offering what they want, which is a simple traditional bank account where they can pay bills, receive salaries.
Spot on. So we have it's a zero monthly fee account, so there's no cost to have the account open, which also talks to multi-banking at the moment. So we're not forcing customers to move off their traditional bank. They can open a second bank account and they can transact for free in most cases. There's always a path for free banking in TymeBank. And essentially, we charge the value-added services side. So if they want to buy a lot of tickets or if they want to buy electricity or airtime, there's a small fee attached there, but otherwise, it's free banking.
You mentioned multi-banking there, and I was chatting with David Shapiro recently. Him and I of the older generation, we have one bank account because that's how we did it. But the youth these days, they don't. They will have multiple banks. Now, I've got friends who will have a bank account, and that's their holiday savings. Others use the GoalSave and the like. Multi-banking is the trend, and it needs to then either be A, frictionless, and B, cheap/free to really work.
And fortunately, the rails are going that route as well. So with the launch of PayShap, You know, to move money between accounts is, from a Time Bank perspective, is free. We don't charge for PayShap. The other banks are charging still, but smaller amounts. So it is becoming frictionless between banking accounts. And certainly when you create the highest savings rate in the market in your deposit account, in your savings account, people can move money from the primary account into us and out for next to no cost.
How's take up of PayShap been? I use it. I think it's an absolutely great product and getting more and more of my friends on it. Is it getting good take up?
Within our environment, it is. Look, I think we were 30-35% of the market. Our PayShap transactions was just Time Bank. So we're adopting it aggressively. It's on the low side, I think, at an industry level, but it'll take time to build experience. What banks are also using is they're using the PayShap rails as almost a least cost routing mechanism. So the old rails that cost more, they can now route through the PayShap rails.
You've also now got business banking. And again, I look at this as a very crowded space, a very traditional sort of banking environment, but I suppose one that you and your colleagues looked at and thought this is ripe for some disruption.
You'd have seen the other new competitive banks coming out talking about the cost of business banks. And you can 10x the cost of a personal bank if you want a business bank, typically in South Africa. So we've added a what we call an EDA Plus account, Everyday Plus account, which basically means you can use actually your fully functional Time Bank Everyday account and allocate that as a business bank account. It's aimed at sole proprietors. Mm-hmm. They once again can get free banking and all the benefits of the payment rails, as well as the savings and all the other value-added services attached to it.
You mentioned Philippines a moment ago. You've got some 3 million customers there. You're also now into Vietnam. You're going to be into Indonesia by the end of the year. My sense around it, notwithstanding 3 million is a giant number, it's a careful expansion, but certainly focusing on Asia.
The backbone of this whole thing is, so we have a tech team sitting in Vietnam, Ho Chi Minh City largely, of 400 engineers, and all they do is they build global banking platforms for us. So we have the base foundation to go anyway. Philippines is very fast growing. If you take, you know, we're 60-odd million people in South Africa, you know, Philippines is 120 million, Vietnam's 100 million, and then Indonesia is the third, fourth largest, most populous country in the world. So you talk about 500 million people you can serve. So certainly with our teams in Philippines, Vietnam, Singapore, expansion's a natural place to go. And obviously the scale is enormous.
What sort of market is that? I mean, South Africa is known for having a fairly advanced banking market. And I say that almost in inverted commas, because in some sense it's a very traditional but advanced banking market. And 20 years ago, we had a huge population unbanked. That no longer the case. What's it like in those markets?
So Philippines in particular is still almost a wallet-based market. So they're probably 30% banked, as we know, a bank account. Wow. But 90% of them are running wallets through the likes of GCash, et cetera. But there's a big move for adoption. So, I mean, Philippines, fortunately for us, GoTime has become very much a mainstream bank, not an entry-level bank. So it's been adopted as a mainstream bank. Obviously, when we started there 18-odd months ago, we put a fully functional bank account in, unlike when we started 5 years ago in South Africa. So adoption is very strong. Brand is very strong. It's the fastest growing bank at the moment in Philippines. And we're seeing similar demographics in the Vietnams and the Indonesias.
Last question. I always get asked two questions around Time Bank. The first is around your GoSave. Is it really a good rate? The answer to that is easy. It is. The other question is, when do you list? My understanding, it's on the horizon, but it's probably, what, 3-4 years away perhaps?
The internal plan's 4 years away. I mean, Poon's going to drive that for us in his current and new role as chairman of the group. We are looking at a New York Stock Exchange listing, 4 years time, with probably a secondary listing in South Africa. But we need to build out new markets and get scale in some of those markets to justify an international listing. But we're well on track.
We'll leave it there to Corvus. He's our Time Bank CEO. Appreciate the time.
This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.